Hallelujah. Let us all close our eyes and pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, as creatures found ourselves in time, O God, we are here to magnify your name, Heavenly Father. We are singing from the bottom of our hearts, singing how excellent is your name, dear Lord. For there is no God like you, O God. There are gods that are man-made, God that have ears but cannot hear, gods that have eyes but cannot see, gods that have mouth but cannot speak, gods that have feet but cannot walk. You alone, O mighty Father, you are the eternal God. Before there was anything visible that we can see today, you were there, O God. And you are the God who can answer prayer. You are an ever-present God, dear Lord.
Yes.
We are reminded of the time of the showdown once, which happened in the times of the Bible, O Lord, where Elijah called you from eternity and said, if you are the real God, come down through the means of fire so that these people can see. The Bible says that you came down through fire and you bent the offering, you bent the sticks, you bent everything, Heavenly Father. Indeed, the people then, they realized that you are a God that needs to be worshipped. Here we are, Heavenly Father, we have gathered it this evening time. It's not that we are bored at our homes, O God. It's not that there was nothing that we can do. There were things that we could have done, O Lord, that could have benefited us in future, O Lord. But we saw that the greatest thing that we can benefit from is to have your word in our hearts, Heavenly Father. That's why all of us, we have came to this place, O God, not just to come and see each other or just to come to sign the register to say that we were in church on Wednesday, but we have come here to be elevated by your word, O God. We have come here to be transformed by your word, Heavenly Father. We have come here to get an impartation of your word, Heavenly Father. For we know that one of these days, if we keep on coming to these services, the body within us will be growing and growing. And one of the days, this terrestrial body won't be able to contain the celestial body that is growing within us. Help us to be consistent, O Lord, as we see people are falling away, O God. Help us in our marriages to be consistent as we see marriages crumbling the way they are crumbling, O Lord. Help us to be strong in our faith as we see all winds of doctrine that are coming on the face, Heavenly Father. Help us to be strong in our faith, not to be like those ones that were seen in the dream of Junior Jackson when Brother Branham left, that as we went to the west side to go and seek for the interpretations, as Junior Jackson said, they left one by one. They couldn't wait for him. For we know, Father God, that one of these good days, O Lord, no matter what the people of the world can say, we are going to be raptured.
Amen.
That is the honest truth. No matter what the people can say, no matter what the theologians can say, but we know that is the truth and that will happen.
Amen.
All of us here, we know we are resting upon that weight, O God. We know one of these days that will happen. Keep us strong in the faith, O Lord. Keep us steadfast in the faith, O Lord. That is what we pray for. Even though we meet challenges from different levels, O God, but we know that these challenges cannot be compared with the glory that is waiting for us beyond the river, Father. As we commit the church, as we commit the service to you, as the pastor will be coming before us to deliver your word to us, not just your word, but your heart to us, O God. Help us not our hearts to be hardened to hear your word. May our ears be circumcised to hear your word and our hearts be a fertile ground to receive for what you are going to present to us today. We commit the day. We commit the brother who is leading us in songs as well. We say, Heavenly Father, help him to help us to usher into the realms of eternity. That is our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, amen.
Amen. Just a few choruses, and after that, we'll go straight to the word of God. Linda Kiara Hugo
Thank you. sisan bingelela nonke igameni lenkosi yethu Jesu Kristu.
As we turn to Revelation chapter 2.
Savule encwadini yesambulo isahluko sesibili.
It reads in this manner I found. It says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication.
Noko kukhona okuyingcosana enginakho ngawe, ngokuba unabo labo ababambisisa isifundiso sika Balaam, owafundisa uBalaki ukuphonsa isikhubekiso phambi kwabantwana bakwa-Israyeli sokuba badle okuhlatshelwe izithombe nokuba bafebe.
I think I will stop there and move to the book of Jude. Jude is just before Revelation. And then we'll read chapter 1, verse 11.
So funda lapho kusihlokosokuqala iverse 11.
It's the only chapter there.
It's on a strong page. It's gone.
It says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor."
Maye kubo ngokuba bahambe endleleni kaKayini bagijimela ekudukeni kukaBalaam ngenxa yemvuzo babhubha ekuphikeni kukaKora.
Amen. As we pray.
Sasakulela.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are very much thankful this evening to approach your throne of mercy and to be considered the redeemed of the hour. And Lord, we have read a portion of the scripture. We are expecting you to come and divinely reveal the scriptures as we have read them. Because you are the only one that can reveal the Holy Scriptures. Any man that would attempt to do that, it would result in the spiritual death.
Amen.
That's why we have learned to give the whole responsibility to the operation of the Holy Spirit, as I commit every man and woman in the building to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As you take your seat. Amen. Just say for a few minutes, we are going to speak about the doctrine of Balaam. Amen.
Amen.
But before we speak about the doctrine of Balaam, there was a time where we preached on a message called the authority of the third pole. Amen. And then sometimes we've got to report when God does great things. Amen. I didn't know there was a family that managed to get that message. And they listened to the message. And it was a family that was going through a rough patch. Amen.
Amen.
Now, then the testimony was relayed back. Based on after they've heard, you remember the subtitle was saying a decree. And then that family had to make a decree. Because the daughter was not well. Amen. So they sent me the photos here, if you can just show them there. Amen. Do you see? Is the daughter? She had a brain tumor. And the brain tumor was the one that was pushing the eye to protrude.
Manjege leso sigaxa besikhona enqondweni yona into beyiphusha iso lakhe ukuthi livele ngaphandle.
Amen. Now she was scheduled to go for an operation.
Ubebekelwe umhlangano ukuthi bazomthatha bayomhlinza.
And they say after they listen to the message,
but emva sebalalela umlayezo,
they made a decree
benza umyalo
that our daughter will go through this operation.
Bathi le ndodakazi yethu izodlula kuloku kuhlinzwa.
It will be a perfect operation.
Kuzoba kuhlinzwa okuphelele.
Not only that.
Hayi lokho kuphela.
Our daughter is a Nazarite.
Indodakazi yethu umNazaria.
Will make sure that she does not even lose a blade of hair.
Sizosenza isiqiniseko ukuthi angalahlekela ngisho unwele olulodwa.
Now, when they met with the oncologist,
oncologist,
and then as he briefed them in terms of the procedure, then they said to he asked them, "Do you have any questions?" Then they said, "No, we do not have any question. We've got a concern." We want to know, how are you going to operate our daughter without her losing a blade of hair? And now they said, the oncologist said, is a top British oncologist.
The oncologist is a British oncologist.
I said, over the number of years that I've been in this profession, I've never had parents being worried about the hair than the operation. This is the first time. Amen. Now they had to hold a meeting. How they were going to avoid cutting her hair. The doctors and together with the family. And the father said to the oncologist, "I'm not worried about the operation because I know that there is a great physician who's going to guide you."
But
he will do his business. I've got to do my business. My business is to make sure that her Nazarite vow is preserved. So they had a little conference about the hair. When you take God seriously, God will take you seriously. Amen. And then what happened, then the sister, the mother mentioned, what we can do, maybe I would plait her hair. And then into the single plates. So that the incision can move in between the hair. And then they made it like that. The operation was successful. She never lost even a blade of hair. And I say, it's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. And if it happens to somebody that is so many miles away from us, I can say it can happen to you as well. Hallelujah. Because see, this power or authority has been granted to the believers. And we're not showing these things to praise ourselves, it's to glorify Him. It's not us, it's Him. Amen. And this evening, if you've got a need, you can still make your own decree. We're not worshipping a dead God, we're worshipping a living God. And as you normally sing about Him, He's a great mighty warrior. Great in battle. With a zero defeat record. How many believe that? This morning, this evening, it's wonderful to serve this God. Amen. And when we made a website, we said we want to contribute to the body ministry. And when you hear the such testimonies coming, they give us an encouragement. The brother made a call from me to me in England, from England. And I say, Brother Ray, we appreciate what God is doing there. You may think we are encouraging you, but you are encouraging us. Amen. This message still has power. Amen. Let me move to my message this evening. Amen. God bless you, Bram Kundisi.
It's
wonderful to see you. Amen. Now, we want to speak about, the Bible speaks about the doctrine of
Balaam.
In Jude, it speaks about the error of Balaam. And we want to say, what was then, we can say it was an erroneous doctrine of Balaam if you combine the two scriptures. And then we want to expound on that. How many believe that you are living in the a great age of deception? Unless you know the truth, you'll be deceived. That is the quickest way for one to be deceived is when they've got no knowledge of the truth. Amen. I was amazed before I come to my message. There is a scientific work that is taking place in Arizona. They are busy, they've got a telescope. They say they want to, it has been commissioned by Vatican astronomers. And they say they wanted to look for extraterrestrials. Meaning life out of the earth. So they have launched that telescope to investigate the outer space. They have nicknamed a telescope. They called it Lucifer. Amen. And they say Lucifer is just an acronym or abbreviation.
But Lucifer nje ukufingwa kwegama,
which means they've called it but it's a large binocular telescope near infrared utility with camera and integral field unit for extra galactic research.
Amen.
You can interpret that. So when they've abbreviated now, they call it Lucifer.
Uma balifinqa ke lawuma gama lawo babiza igama elodwa bathi uLucifer.
Amen. Now these Vatican astronomers.
Manje lama astronomers wase Vatican.
They say they've got an expectation.
Bathi khona bakulindele.
And they are busy with documents that they are compiling based on what they are observing.
Baphizi ngeimpepha ke mamelana naloko abakubhekile.
They say we believe that.
Bathi siyakholwa ukuthi.
We are soon to be visited by an alien savior.
Sizovakashelwa isilwane sangaphandle komhlaba esizosindisa.
An alien savior.
Isilwane sangaphandle esizosindisa.
From another world.
Esiphuma kwelinye ilizwe.
Amen. Now I've got questions here.
Manje nginemibuzo ke.
Why did they choose Arizona?
Yingani bakhethe iArizona?
Why didn't they choose some desert in Africa?
Yingani bakhethanga ehlane elithile lapha eAfrica?
And they are being assisted by the University of Arizona.
Basekwa futhi iUniversity yaseArizona.
Amen. I don't know if you know the message, you understand what the devil is trying to do.
Angazi uma niwazi umlayezo ukuthi angiboni yini ukuthi uSathane uzama ukwenzani.
It was a professor from the University of Arizona.
Oh, professor wase University of Arizona.
Who looked at the cloud.
Oh, wabheka ifu.
And say it was an unusual cloud.
Wathi ifu elingajwayelekile.
And the prophet comes.
Prophet uyeza.
And say it was the Lord himself descending.
Othukawo inkosi uqobolwayo iyehla.
Now you've got a church there.
Manje kunebandla lapho.
It has a telescope.
Line telescope.
They say they're expecting an alien savior to come to the earth.
Bathi balindele isilwane sangaphandle komhlaba othi size sizosindisa lapha emhlabeni.
Is the devil he's trying to negate 1963.
USathane ozama ukwehlisa isithunzi sika 1963.
And I don't know when they come to the completion of whatever they are doing there.
Angazi ukuthi uma sebaphethile ngakho konke lokho abazama ukukwenza.
I don't know what is the intention.
Angazi inhloso yabo iyini na.
But genuine believers are not expecting an alien savior from somewhere.
Amakholwa aqotha walindelanga umsindisi wesilwane esiphuma ngaphandle.
Our savior came 2000 years ago to save us.
Umsindisi wethu uze eminyakeni eyinkulungwane emibili endlule ukuze kuzo
and returned in 1963 to claim us.
Wabuya ngo 1963 ukuzosclaim.
And it is a complete work.
Umsebenzi ophelile.
So we are not having any expectation from anywhere.
Asilindelanga lutho oluqhamuka ndawo.
Can you see that these two spirits will be so close?
Uyabona ukuthi lebimoya emibili izowusondelana.
And if it were possible it would deceive the very elect.
Uma bongenzeka bongadukisa nalabo abakhethiweyo.
And not a month, several months back. The Pope had a pillar of fire behind him. And they say it is scientifically proven that it was a halo. So can you see, if we say we've got the pillar of fire, they will say we've got the pillar of fire. And if we say we've got the cloud, they will say we've got the cloud. But I can tell you something, we are not into this message because of the cloud or the pillar of fire. But we are in the message because the life of Christ has been transmitted into our hearts. And I can say, that one shall never be copycatted. God in flesh can never be copycatted. And I think that is what is making this message to be authentic. Brother Branham in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says the whole thing. The whole thing. It's about God and man becoming one. The whole thing is not about the cloud or the pillar of fire, picture of the pillar of, it's about God and men becoming one. And the devil can never impersonate that. And that's why I've just demonstrated you to you what they are doing and what has happened amongst ourselves. Amen. Now, when you look at Bilaam, Bilaam was a prophet amongst the Moabites. He was not a chancer, he was a prophet. Hallelujah. A genuine prophet that could speak to the very same God that Moses would speak to.
Prophet of
Hallelujah. And this Bilaam, and you need to backtrack a little bit to know the background of Moab. The Moabites, they were brothers to the Israelites, because they came from Lot through his daughter. Now, they were not heathens, they were religious people. And when you looked at Moab and you looked at Israel, there were some similarities. Amen. Let's give the brother a chance. I will give you a chance.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. So when you look at Moab and Israel, there were some similarities. And I'll tell you what the prophet says. In the message, the mark of the beast. He says, notice, he was just as fundamental as Israel was. He built 7 altars. 7 sacrifices. 7 rams. Just exactly like they were doing down in the camp of Israel. Just the same sacrifices. But what Bilaam failed to see, I will come to this one. Let me just stop here. So Israel had the 7 altars. Had 7 sacrifices. Had 7 rams. Whatever Israel had, the Moabites had. When Bilaam spoke to God, Moses spoke to God. When you look at them on the surface, they looked the same. But they were not the same. The prophet say, amongst the Israelites, there was a pillar of fire vindicated prophet. And this pillar of fire, we need to come into it, because these days everyone is playing towards the pillar of fire. A genuine one is not red, it's amber. The Pope's one I saw, it was a huge, giant, red pillar of fire. But this one is amber. Hallelujah. So you've got to know what we are talking about. When the prophet was here, he was able to say they had the cloud and they had the pillar of fire, referring to the Israelites. But the Moabites did not have that. But today, when you look, they are now manufacturing them. But there is a difference between a manufactured pillar of fire and a genuine pillar of fire. A manufactured one can never transmit life. But a genuine one will transmit life. But so today, we are not just saying it's a genuine pillar of fire by pointing at it. But we are pointing at it because we have seen the effect of it on our hearts. And we can say that one is not genuine because it does not have an effect on us. Because a pillar of fire will drive you to the weight. If it doesn't drive you to the weight, it's not a genuine one. And when the pillar of fire appears, there is a purpose why it appears. The reason it appears, it is to come to vindicate a prophet down here. So when you see the pillar of fire, you must know that there is a prophet on the land. When it appeared during the time of Moses, you had to rally around Moses. When it appeared during the time of Paul, we had to rally around Paul. When it appeared during the time of Brother Branham, you had to rally around Brother Branham. A pillar of fire will always point you towards a prophet. It's not there just for entertainment. Hallelujah. So when you look at the Moabites and you look at Israel, there were some similarities. They spoke about God, they as well spoke about God. They sacrificed, they as well sacrificed. They called upon God, they as well called upon God. Hallelujah. Until such time that there was a man called Balak. A Balak was a political figure of that time. Now we see a political leader going to a religious leader, and they're beginning to have a discussion. And this political leader, he knows that Bileam, when he speaks to God, God hears him. Now he says to him, now we see the Israelites are coming. Now as they are coming, we need your assistance. That we need you to go out and go and cast them. Hallelujah. He knows that. He knew that. Whatever Bileam cast was cursed. Whatever he curses is cursed. But this day, when he went to him, then he pointed them at Israel and said, you need to curse these people. Now, Balak, he went to God and said, God, should I do it? And God said, those are my people, do not do it. But we see pressure being exerted on Balak. That no, you need to go for a second answer. Let me tell you, a believer, answer from God for the first time is enough. Don't ever attempt to change God's answer to your life. Do not try to improve it, but accept it as it is. But not Balak. Balak went again to Bileam and promised a greater reward. That you need to avoid God's truth. Then the personal gain will be increased. And I want to say, the same spirit is coming back again. And that's why today, We say, God, raise ministers that are not in the ministry for personal gain, but they are in the ministry because of a personal conviction. Because when a man is in a ministry for personal gain, he will always change to suit the current times. So the doctrine of Balaam, as long as it was not subjected to pressure, he stood by it. But when it is subjected to pressure, then he changed on it. He went back to God, and God changed his answer and gave him another answer and said, you may go. But hear me out here. It was God's permissive will. The first answer, it was God's perfect will. Hear me out, a believer. You would rather go with God's perfect will than God's permissive will. God's perfect will has got blessings at the end of it. But God's permissive will has got consequences. And this evening, which will are you going to go with? Now we see him going back. Now God says, now you can go, and you can go and curse them. Now when Israel was coming there, Israel had all the faults that you could find. They had murmured against God. Hallelujah. They had done things that God did not approve of. Hallelujah. Until the prophet says, when Balaam came, he stood on one side and he wanted to curse them. And he couldn't curse them. He changed the position. And he wanted to curse them. He couldn't curse them. Because you can never curse what God has already blessed. And if God has already blessed, no one shall curse you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then he moved to this side. He still could not curse them. Hallelujah. We'll come to something here. When he moved around them, trying to find what he can use to curse them, Brother Branham says, but what Balaam failed to see was the smitten rock. What he failed to see was the brazen serpent. What he failed to see was the shout of the camp. What he failed to see was that pillar of fire going before them. And I say today, they might want to curse us. They might want to change positions. But let me tell you something. They shall never curse us. Because there is something amongst us that they do not see. When you look at within the camp, you may find a lot of imperfections, but it never changed that they were God's chosen people. I hope we are together here.
Amen.
When you looked at them, yes, they had a golden calf. Yes, they had the ups and downs. But no matter what they went through, God could not disown them. Hallelujah. Stay with me here. Now, in the message, the children of Israel,
emlayezweni the children of Israel.
Paragraph 45. He says, now when he said that,
uthi uma asho lokho,
said he could only speak what God put in his mouth.
Wathi ngakhuluma kuphela lo uNkulunkulu akufaya emlomeni wakhe.
Hallelujah. And God told him to send them back.
uNkulunkulu wabatshela ukuthi abathumele babuye emlomeni.
Then Bilia,
uBalaam,
like a lot of hireling prophets now.
Kufana nabaprofeti abaningi babanje.
Hallelujah. A hireling is somebody who's into it for personal gain.
Oh, hireling iloyo osentweni ethile afuna ukuhlomula uthile ukukhona.
Like a lot of hiring prophets now for money, he came back again and asked him the second time. Then he went to God again. Now look, there is a perfect will of God and there is a permissive will of God. God permitted his prophet to go on. It was in his perfect will. It was his permissive will. I'm glad the prophet is bringing the word a hireling. There is a difference between a shepherd and a hireling. Jesus, when he speaks about the shepherd, a shepherd is somebody that would risk his life for the sheep. But a hireling, as soon as the trouble comes, he runs away. And I'm going to put it as raw as it is. In the end time, including in the message, sometimes we thought we had shepherds only to find that we had hirelings. The people that will come amongst ourselves and turn their back on the prophet of the hour and try to discredit the very message that they had spent their whole life preaching. And when it reaches the people's ears, then it resonates with them. And say, so and so was in the message for a number of years, but he left the message. Let me tell you something. He who leaves the message never saw the message. From the very beginning, they never saw the message. I don't care whether they've been in the message for 33 years. It was just an outward performance. But if it was an inward thing, you will never turn your back on the message because you have become the message. Maybe they've been in the message because it was prestigious in that role. But let me put it to you. In the end time, it's no longer cool to believe the message. You may be arrested to believe the message. In the end time, we see, because it is the honing of the pyramid, the number of genuine believers is becoming fewer. So if people were used to big crowds following them, the number is decreasing, because the people can never stand for the truth anymore. Now what is happening? Now there is a temptation to twist certain, to trick certain aspects of the message in order to make it acceptable to the people. That's exactly what Balaam did. He took what God gave him. He transformed it in order to have a personal gain. But I am glad God will have witnesses. God will have men and women that will never ever give in to the pressure of time. They will say the message is enough, as it was given by the prophet. They will preach the message until the message takes the bride home. Today you see a lot of things, a lot of chaos that is coming
up,
and you wonder what drives people. Let me read a quotation for you. The prophet says, in the message, how can I overcome?
We see
in paragraph 44. We see this age that we're living in. It's one of the grandest ages of all ages. This Laodicea church age is the grandest of all the church ages. Because it's the ending of time and the blending of eternity. It's the greatest sinful age. It's more sin in this age than there's ever been. The power of Satan is many times harder to fight against than it was in any other age. Hallelujah. It is the grandest age. It is an attractive age. But it is a time of deception. And as time goes by, you feel that the pressure is being exerted upon the people that would want to take a stance for the message. You get a sense that the tastes are coming back. Tastes are coming back that would want to force ministers to compromise. Hallelujah. And just to give you a perspective, the young ones today, it will take grace. I'm beginning to see young people in the message getting married. Within a few months, they say it was a false vow. I'm free, I can marry again. Yes, they've done a lili-lili. But after lili-lili, it was a false vow. And let me give you a picture. Then it depends whose child it is. If it's the child of the big contributor in the church, then a pastor is not sure what to do. He looks at the quotations that would justify it. Because why? It is now becoming a meal ticket. But I want to say to you, that's why when God put the trustees in the church, it was to help the pastors not to be corrupted by the influence of money. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. But I want to say, God will help men and women, or will have shepherds that will not be affected by the financial well-being of the people. Wrong will remain wrong. Right will remain right. If the church becomes bigger, praise God. But if it is reduced in number, praise God. But there is one thing that we shall never change. It is the standard of the message. And today, let me put it in this manner. In this church, maybe if you say, I want to remarry, and the pastor says no, you can run down the street, there will be a church that will accept you. Hallelujah. There is many places where they can cater your needs. But let me say this, a church of God, where God speaks in an unrestricted manner, will never cater to the taste of the people. But the people that will be there, they will say, God, speak your word. Let your word change us. Let us not change your word. Your word is perfect. Because you are your own word. We need to change and be like you. What am I saying? There will be men and women that will anyone can inject their own ideas into the message. Are we together?
Yes.
And my question to you, have you got the backbone?
No.
Point out error when you see it. Or you've got a backbone of a spaghetti, you can't stand. Do you sympathize with error? Let me tell you something. When God called you, He didn't call you to be popular. But He called you to be honest. And when you are honest with God, you will be unpopular with the people. But we need a generation that can rise up and say, that's not what the prophet said. Hallelujah. Because when God, today, the brothers have done a phenomenal job. Today, when you've got a smartphone, you've got the entire message on your lap. It's not because maybe the brothers, they wanted to play around and impress you with technology. They wanted you to have access to the truth. And when you've got access to the truth, you need to read the truth. And when you know the truth, then you will be able to identify error.
Hope we
are together. Amen. Are we still together?
Amen.
The prophet says, in the same message, how can I overcome? Paragraph 45. He says, back in early ages, a Christian could, for his profession of being a church, or belonging to church, could be beheaded for it. He could be killed and put out of his misery and go to meet God quickly. The prophet said it was easier then. If you pledge allegiance to the truth, they could behead your head. Quickly you go and meet the Lord. But it says it was back then. But now the enemy has come in the name of the church. It's so deceiving. This is the great age of deception, where Christ said the two spirits would be so close in the last days, it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. The enemy has come in the name of the church. It's so deceiving. It's a great age of deception. The two spirits would be so close. And if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. And I say this evening, it is impossible to deceive the elect. It is too late to deceive the elect. Because why? Well, the people are analyzing the teachings of the prophet. The prophet mentioned a very profound statement. Here it is a secret. And if it is a secret, it is not known by the public. It is only known by the people that it affects. Here it is a secret. The word is in the bride. And no one will take the word out of the bride. Today I'm glad that we can preach exactly the way the prophet preached. Because there are people who the spirit that was operating in the prophet has now moved in them. They have the same desire of the things that he preached. People are all over the internet discrediting the message on daily basis. But you know what is happening? This message is taking China by storm. The Chinese, is illegal for them to believe the message. They meet in the basement where the government cannot find them. What is that desire? 40 years later, the message is shaking denominationalism in communist world. And they say, we need our own Bible. Our Bible was not reliable. Now, the message believers came together, translated the Bible, King James Version, into Chinese. What is happening? No man can stop this message. Because it was not sent by a man. The word says, the word of God shall never go forth and return to him void, but it shall accomplish what it was sent for. This message has gone into Russia. This message has gone into China. This message has found you in Wilbank. And no one shall stop the message. And let me say to you, when the message came your way, it was not diluted. It was raw as it is. But it changed you. So let us not change it. Let us allow the message to pass through and be able to find others. But it needs the people that can reject the error of Balaam. Hallelujah. We don't know how many years do we have behind this pulpit. We don't know how many years do we still have behind the pulpit. But here's my challenge to the church. When we change the message, will you have the courage to say, that's not it? Or you will be lullabied into it?
But the Bible says God is not a respecter of a
person.
God is a respecter of his own way. And God's seed shall respect God's way.
Amen.
Are we still together? And even the people that traveled with the prophet, they want to come to us and say, when he said this, he meant that. Will you take that? Amen.
Amen.
Let's read the scripture here. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first.
Amen.
You can read it there.
Makangabikho muntu onikhohlisayo nangayiphi indlela. Ngokuba aluyikufika kungakaveli kuqala ukuhlubuka.
Is there a falling away that is taking place?
Ingabe khona ukuhlubuka okwenzakalayo?
There's a great falling away. You look even at the enthusiasm that people used to have. They don't have it anymore. I'm surprised today. Even in new converts, no politics more than the word. I say, goodness, are we sharing politics or are we sharing the word?
It's happening today.
Hallelujah.
Because why? People can't share with the word anymore. They are going through the motions. As long as I was in church, I paid my tithes. I've done my responsibility with no joy of salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today, when people read the spoken word, they don't read it to be blessed. I want to extract something so that I can shambok others. The word was not sent to shambok, the word was sent to save
us.
And the word must bring joy in our hearts. Hallelujah. And you see those things happening. The great falling away first. Sin is no longer called sin. We find better ways to describe it. Because we don't want to offend the people. If your people today, when they offend them, amen, they say they've got a word for it. Amen. Amen. They say people in our time, they don't fix things anymore. If it gets broken, it gets thrown away. We need to get a new one. Amen. That's the mentality. If the relationship doesn't work, we don't fix it. We throw it away. If the marriage doesn't work, we throw it away. If things don't work out in the church, we throw it away. No more fixing. That is the generation that we are under. Amen. And these movements. Hallelujah. A brother was telling me and said to me, Pastor Madiba, we must leave all these elders. They are useless. And I looked at him and I said, I wanted to check who is his elder. And I realized that in the true sense, his elder is useless. Now he wants to make our elders to be useless. Let me tell you something. It's good to come into the ministry. We need more pastors. But we don't need the pastors that are ordained at night. We need the pastors that have good history and track record behind their names. Because if you don't have such, we may end up having people feeding people's necks, even in the message. We need to trace you. Have you got a track record in this ministry? Have you been loyal to this ministry? Have you been steadfast in this ministry? Or are you just a hireling looking for people's tithes? And as a result, you bring an embarrassment to the message. And I want to put it for what it is. There are people in the message that must be disowned. They must be told that not in the name of our prophet. Things that you do, not in the name of our prophet. We are not believing the same thing. Today, men run around with women in church and they come and preach behind the pulpit. And the church can never push back. Because they've always known it's a man of God. It's a man of God. I asked the other time, I said, brothers, this man has got issues. And he is here. Hallelujah. He wants to chair our meeting. We need to hold him accountable. I'm told another one just came into church and hijacked a pulpit.
I said, brothers, I'm very sorry if I was there, he wasn't going to do it. I will answer and say, before you get behind that pulpit, we've got more issues to talk about. But you know why? The people know that they can do whatever they do, then we walk on eggshells around them. Because we are afraid to offend them. Not Paul, when he saw Peter, he said, Peter, don't be a hypocrite. These Gentiles, they deserve the same grace. Why are you not talking about circumcision? We need such people. But I say the truth will never make you popular.
Amen.
And I'm saying to this church, my kids are still young. They will grow. Because when the kids grow, they've got a tendency to change their parents' stance. My daughter is growing. All I wish is that let her remain in the message. But I don't know when she begins to do certain things. And I say, I want to correct them. And my wife says, not my daughter. Then you see me coming on the pulpit, reducing the standard to accommodate the errors in my house. But there we need a church that is bold. I liked it how they did it in one church. A man started criticizing the prophet after he had preached for 33 years. The board came and say, Pastor, we want you to take leave for 6 weeks. 6 weeks. We want you to pray about it. We will pray about it. And we'll talk after 6 weeks. Because we realize you are beginning to criticize the prophet. He took leave. He came back. And he did not change his stance. Then the board said, can we have your resignation? Now they have just appointed a pastor who believes the message. And that one is gone. I say, that's the kind of men that we need. They're not just babies in church, but they've got the sword to protect the message. That's why a reading church, a church must read and know the truth and protect the truth irrespective of who it is. Hope we are together. Amen. Then by so doing, you refuse the error of Balaam, a doctrine of Balaam that thrives on popularity, that thrives on being pat on the back. A genuine servant of God doesn't want people to pat them on the back. He wants God to pat him on the back. That's a real ministry. God bless you richly. Sisters, help us here in the front. Amen. Stampayana, Sister Ratile, you may come and help us. Sister Lorraine, you can come and help us as well.
Hallelujah.
Brother
Mkondisi
will close with a word of prayer for us.
Amen.
I say yes, Lord. I say yes.
Such a special way, Lord. Our hearts are bubbling with joy, O Lord. We feel so special, Lord, that you don't hide these things, Lord, but you reveal them to us in a secret way, Lord, in a special way that the devil cannot understand, O Lord. O Lord, we are so grateful, Lord. I say, Lord, yes, Lord. We say, yes, Lord. We say, Lord, please, Lord, keep these things burning in our hearts, Lord. Help us to ponder permanently about these things, Lord, because we know that they will get us into that state where our conscious and our subconscious are put together, Lord, and there we can achieve anything, Lord. Sicela ukuthi baba ube nathi egameni lenkosi yethu Jesu Kristu. Amen.
You can give us a chorus to meet on Sunday. God bless you richly.
To uNkulunkulu anibosise.
Amen.
Lord.